This is the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are pleased and scared to have Dr. Evan Levine with us talking about healthcare in America, and it isn't pretty. Bill, I interrupted you. Thank you.
Well, the impression is that there's certification, there's all sorts of oversight, there are boards, there are state boards, there are professional boards, there are all sorts of institutions whose responsibility is to make sure the kinds of things you're describing, and there's some more that we haven't talked about yet, don't happen. So those of us who don't know any better are inclined to walk in, big happy smile on our face, trusting the professionals
right
that we're dealing with.
The hospitals,
the nurses, the doctors, the pharmacists, all of those people are supposed to be watching the store.
Well, those board certifications actually are important because, like in doctor jargon, I would rule out going to a physician that's not board certified. Absolutely.
Because
that means something. Why aren't they board certified? Did they not get the appropriate training? Did they fail the board exam, which frankly is not that difficult to pass? That tells me something. So I would exclude all physicians who are not board certified. Let's say you're going to an internist. He's board certified, but he also does some cardiology. He calls himself a cardiologist. If he's not board certified, if he's not a member of the American College of Cardiology, I'm not using him as a cardiologist. I think the board certification is in some way important. But you're right. How do you find a good doctor out there?
I want to stop you, though. What I'm hearing you say is that there are people, physicians, who call themselves any one of a range of different specialties who are doing that just because they want to, not because they've been certified or have the right to or the privilege or even the knowledge.
Right, and I would suspect that's more common in the rural areas because it's hard to get away with that. You can't get admitting privileges to Emory University Hospital as a cardiologist if you don't have board certification. No way.
But if you are in Duda, Arkansas...
Absolutely. You can call yourself an internist/specialist in heart disease.
So don't.
Now, he may not even call himself a cardiologist. He's a specialist in heart disease. And I'm telling you, if anyone ever says that to you, you find out if they're board certified. And I would leave that practice because I would leave him as an internist as well because that bothers me because he's pulling the wool over your eyes. And
there's this old-fashioned phrase, caveat emptor, let the buyer beware.
Right.
Well, I don't think I should... I don't think I should have to be that scared of all of the providers, and yet...
Well, caveat emptor in any place, in any business you go to, I must say, by and large, physicians are great, honorable people, but why take the risk of finding the wrong person? Let's remember that most of the physicians out there are good, hardworking people. Do I think many physicians hand out those expensive medications, even good ones? Because the pharmaceutical reps are there, that I do. But do I think people go out of their way to do the wrong thing? I think that's a minority. I do discuss that in the book. It's very scary. But why even take a 1 in 10 chance that you're going to end up with one of these criminals, for lack of a better word? Why not do some homework and find out?
You say minority, which could be anything under 49.9%. And again, you haven't done, this is not a statistically
right.
double-blind-badabadab survey that you've done. But, what order of magnitude? Is this 1%? Is this 10%?
It depends what we're talking about. I'm going to say when it comes to handing out the expensive medications, I'll guesstimate 75% of doctors do that. No one's harmed except your pocket. When it comes to doing sonograms or echocardiograms in your office, that's another scam I discuss, where the doctor has these portable sonos, echoes, and radiologists come to your office. That's probably over 10-15%. When I discuss the kidney stone caper, where there are urologists performing lithotripsy when there are no kidney stones, I've seen it. I think it's a minority. But again, and this is why I caution people that go to these small, tiny hospitals, there's no checks and balances there. There's no one looking over the shoulder of that doctor. There's no medical student or resident in training. that's going to either embarrass the physician from doing it or report them.
And yet if you live in a small town that only has a small little community hospital, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Well, if you need an elective surgery, go to the university hospital. Make the hour or 2 hours. It's an elective surgical procedure. Take the trip.
I want to go back. You said there's no harm done, and I don't think you believe that, and I know I don't believe it. Because the harm, at the very least, is there is economic harm to the system, either the insurance company that we all end up paying for or to the individual, whatever. But there's also an ethical problem. And what you describe sounds like, a slow slide to hell. You start down this path and you start doing things that are not absolutely in the best interest of your patients.
Right.
Then where do you stop? At what point do you draw the line? And and the harm is real, but the potential is just stunning.
I agree with you. There is tremendous harm. And one of the things you mentioned, I believe, a few minutes ago, is exactly what occurs. The rep will come to your office and tell you, Doc, don't worry about it. Ours is a little more expensive, but the insurance is going to pay for it. Well, so your insurance premiums are all going up. I've been told that several times. Oh, it's more expensive, but we're covered under their insurance. What do you mean? Where's the money coming from? It's coming from heaven?
The insurance fairy.
Yeah.
Well, I really do begin to wonder if the insurance companies and the pharmaceuticals and the doctors and the hospitals and the medical schools, if they are all doing less than we might hope under the best of circumstances. There's nobody left. Whoever I've missed. And the politicians. Where do we begin to fix any of this? Because it sounds like it's all broken.
It's an absolute mess. And you're right, and the patients. And the patients who demand tests sometimes when there's no scientific data to support it. I'll turn that patient away, and you know what? I might lose a patient. They'll go elsewhere. And the patients who say, Doc, I will not take generic medicines. I refuse. Recently, when I was in rounds with the medical residents and students, I asked them that at the clinic, and they said they demanded, we can't argue with them, we just write dispenses written. So it's incredible.
Why would someone not take generic drugs?
Because they believe the advertising. Probably.
They're uninformed, and they believe the old story that generics are not as good. Now, if you read in the book, DuPont was sued and settled a lawsuit for $35 million approximately because when they were the makers of Coumadin, they were going to all the doctor's offices and saying, hey, doc, don't use that generic Coumadin. It's not good and it's very dangerous. Don't use that. So make sure, DAW. In fact, they'd even give scripts out to the doctor. They'd print it up, doctor's name, Coumadin, DAW, stamped
D-A-W
in there. We got to do is sign it.
Dispenses
written, brand name. Now, you'd think that would have stopped. Well, they sold the rights to Coumadin to another pharmaceutical company. And wouldn't you know it, that rep came to my office last year and said, hey, doc, how come you only prescribe generic Coumadin? It's not as good. And I took him aside. I said, are you serious? Don't you realize there was a major lawsuit that was settled because of exactly what you're saying? And he said, oh, I had no idea.
Well, there was another piece in that I had not come across, which is that a lot of these generic drugs are manufactured on the same line by the same people.
And every other day, you call it one thing or the other.
Every other day, or they either bought out the generic or maybe a Wednesday. Absolutely.
So
sometimes they even make the generics.
It's
big
same,
business.
It's the same thing.
Why not get the generic market, even though you really don't want to sell that drug? But hey, why not get some part of the generic market? It's the same thing. Exactly. Maybe there's some little differences with the filler or whatever, but the FDA guarantees it is the same exact thing. And if anyone tells you different, they're liable, because that's a lie.
Well, since you raised that, and it's a significant issue, because generics, a big we could do some serious economic adjustment with generics. What does liable mean? Because a lot of people are doing these things and they seem to get away with it, and even when they get caught, nothing much seems to happen.
Well, we have that one precedent lawsuit, with Coumadin.
Yeah, but $35 million is nothing to a DuPont pharmaceutical.
And that's why they go out and keep saying it, but they're not supposed to do that.
So Bill's question is, what is liable?
Well, I guess you can call the, if your doctor's doing it, you could certainly call the Office of Professional Misconduct, but you're right, it's very, very hard to make that change.
This is Dr. Evan Levine. Dr. Bill Russell will be having...
No. Not after what he said.
We'll be back in a moment with more on the Paula Gordon Show. There's a great deal more to be learned about what your doctor won't or can't tell you, as rendered by Dr. Evan Levine. Be with us when we return in a moment.